Now we're on. Let me put this recording on. Okay, we're good. Anyway, so this week, welcome everyone. This week is Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor, in the beginning, it speaks about the laws dealing with the Kohanim, and then it speaks about the Parshat HaMoadot, the section with all the holidays that we lane on the second day of Pesach and on the first 2 days of Sukkot. And then we have the piece about the Lechem Apanim, the showbread is the way they say it in English, and about the Ben Ish Mitzri, the son of the Egyptian man who had a whole taina that he wasn't happy with the setup in the Machaneh. In other words, he didn't have a place to encamp with Klal Yisrael, and he was from a mixed marriage. All right, I'll do a few short pieces from the Iturei Torah, and then we'll go to some pieces from Rav Simon, and I'll pause periodically for questions. Okay, so the first piece is from Rav Dov Baer, the Magid of Mezrich. He was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, and it says Amor LaKohen B'nei Aharon. So Kohanim, is frequently not just a Kohen, a descendant of Aaron. Kohen could be a religious leader. Like there's a pasuk even in the Navi, or even the Ketuvim. It says Ubnei David Kohanim Ayu, that the sons of David were Kohanim. It doesn't mean they were actually Kohanim. They were like religious leaders. So that's the way that he takes it in the pasuk. And more like Kohanim, he says that the people, like it would be lechora like the rabbis, but it could be anybody who's mochiach, who's giving rebuke to the Jewish people. He says the Torah says lenefesh lo yitama b'yamav. In other words, amor laKohanim, he speaks to the Kohanim and advise them lenefesh lo yitama b'yamav, that the time that they're there being mochiach, giving a rebuke to Klal Yisrael, so they should be careful lo yitama, that they don't become tamei, they don't become like spiritually impure with arrogance or with ulterior motives. Meaning, when you're speaking to people, you should be altruistic and you shouldn't be motivated by issues. Then there's a piece from the Chozemi Lublin, and the Chozemi Lublin was a Hasidic Rebbe in the 19th century, and when people would come to him, he's called the Choze, the seer of Lublin, because people would come to him, he would tell them all these things about themselves. So the Choze says, Amor v'yamarta, Shtei Amirot, two statements. It's Amor v'yamarta. In other words, that's what all the Mefarshim ask. Why does it say Amor, and then it says v'yamarta? It repeats it twice. He says that you should Amor laKohanim, you should tell the Kohanim that they should be ru'i to be B'nai Aharon. That they, in other words, and it could be religious leaders also, they should be ru'i to be B'nai Aharon, the sons of Aharon, which Oev Shalom Ro'o Dev Shalom, person who loves peace and pursues peace. But V'yamar ta'alehem, you should say to them, L'nefesh lo yitama b'yamav, they shouldn't become tamei with all the pursuit of peace and loving peace and getting close. Don't become endangered by too much hidchabrut. In other words, this is always the tension. Like, when a person wants to be makariv someone, so they have to, in some level, become friendly with the person. But sometimes the person you be makariv frequently is not too from. So there's a tension there. In other words, I want to do a Lubavitch job on him. I don't want him to do a Lubavitch job on me. So that's what the Pasuk is saying. say to the Kohanim, like, you should be like the Kohanim, B'nei Aaron, Oev Shalom and Rodev Shalom. Pursue a peace, lover of peace, you're friendly, I love people, love. But with all the love, you have to be careful, l'nefesh lo yitama. You can't become tamei with all these people you're becoming so friendly with. Okay, let me see. Any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, so I'm going to move on. Now, there's one more piece I want to do before I get to Rav Simon, and this is Beginzenu Ha'atik. This is, it was originally a Yiddish work. It was written in Poland in the 1930s, I think, from Unzra Alter Ozar, from our old treasury. And then it was translated into Hebrew. He says, so actually it's translated into Hebrew, it's called Me Otzarenu Yashan, but he refers to it Miginzenu Ha'atik. So it says, Emor Kohanim, so there's a medrash that says, like, the medrash is longer. It says, Imrod Hashem Imarotov, Imarot Torot. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Emor V'yamarta, you should say twice, and then the medrash connects it to another pasuk. In Tehillim, it says the statements of Hashem are pure statements. And then it goes on to say that Hashem was Ma'akim. Hashem put an additional 8 letters in the Torah not to say something bad. And it's talking about by Noach. So it's switching over to Noach. So it says by Noach that he commands Noach to bring all the animals into the Teva. He says, Minabema Torah, from the animals that are Tahor, the kosher animals, Minabema Shereinena Torah, the ones that aren't kosher. But it doesn't say that are Tamei. So the Medrash takes it that Hashem put an additional 8 letters in the Torah, Asher Einena, in order to say, we don't want to say Tamei, we want to say So the question is, we see the word Tamei all over in Chumash. Tamei appears left to right and up and down. So what's so special about that time in Parshas Noach, where it says, you know, Asher Einena Torah, and everywhere else where it says Tamei, Tamei, Tamei? Let's say in Parshas Shmini, it says Zelachama Tamei. You know, this is what's Tamei, Tamei. So when does the Torah say Asher Einena Torah? When does it say Tamei? So the Dubner Magid, and again, the Dubner Magid, and this was in the 18th century, so a Magid was a preacher, but the Magidim would be itinerant preachers. They would travel from place to place, and people were eager to hear what they had to say. Now people don't want to hear. But in those days, they were eager to hear what the Magid had to speak, and the rabbi would only speak in shul twice a year, in Shabbat Shuvah and Shabbat Gadol. Otherwise, like this, the idea of making drashas is a relatively recent innovation, and really came about as a result of the reform movement, that they had their things, and that was introduced. Anyway, so the Dubner Magid explained it with a mashal. He says, in the neighborhood of the Rav of the city, there was one lowlife. He was coarse, but he was very wealthy. That seems to go hand in glove. Like, the people were wealthy, you know, but they're coarse and things like that. So the people called him Zeinvel Magusham. Zeinvel, the coarse Zeinvel. So once somebody enters the house of the Rav and asks, where does Reb Zeinvel live? So the Rav Shamus says, like, shockingly, oh, Mistama, you were talking about, he said, where does Reb Zeinvel live? He says, oh, you must be talking about Zeinvel, the Magusham, Zeinvel, the course. He says, he lives across the street. So the Rav said to the Shamus, how can you talk about another Jew that way? You shouldn't refer to him as Zeinvel Magusham. So he says, after a number of days, the Shadchan came to the Rav, and he says that Zeinvel had sent him to the Rav to make a shidduch with him, to take the Rav's only son to be a chassan for Zeinvel's daughter. So that was the mission. So the Rav says, this lowlife, you expect me to have a shidduch with him? Ow! Out the door. So the Shama says, but Rebbe, just the other day you said I should be so careful the way I speak. I should be careful not to talk this way, that way about another Jew. So he said, he says if it's just like a theoretical fashion, you know, so then you should say, yeah, you know, it's Zeinvel. But if he thinks that I'm going to have a shidduch with him, he has to be clear, you know, that we're in a different getter and I'm not going to have a shidduch with him. So anyway, so Dubner Magid says that's the same thing with the behemoths. So when we're talking about the animals going in the teva, so there's no nafkamina lahalacha for us which animals go in or not. So we could say, you know, Asherin in the Torah. But when the Torah is telling us, you know, this you can't eat, so it wants to say it's Tamei, like, keep it away from you. It's like, you know, Tamei, Tamei, Tamei. Okay, that's that piece. Any questions on that piece? Okay, we got a happy group here today. Let's keep going. And I'm happy to see Daniel Netanyahu is here, and Mark Pachter as well. Okay, let's take a look further. So now, let me just do, before I get to Rabbi Simon, I want to do one piece from the Alkut Lachatov. He quotes from...
I have a question. I have to have a quick question before you go on.
Sure, what's
up? When you take on such a sense of hilarity and humor, is that intended by the writers as well, to take away like that?
I don't know. I don't know what to say. All right. All right, let me go on. All right, now...
It's very good.
Okay, now, there's a sefer by... Zichron Meir by Rav Dov Meir Rabman. And Ruth, can you remute yourself, please?
I'm looking to see where I can.
All right, let me help you. Okay, you're muted. Okay, now, he was a Rosh Hashiva, he was from Europe, and he was a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Israel. I think he died in the 1950s. Anyway, he didn't have any children, and he called the sefer Zichron Meir because he felt like this will be like he doesn't have a child to take over after him. So his name was Rav Dov Meir Rabman, so he called Zichron Meir. So he points out that in the beginning of the Parsha, there's a mitzvah that just to the kohenim. In other words, emor lekohenim lenefesh lo yitamei mamon. There are certain dinim that only apply to kohenim. If you're a kohen, you have those dinim. You can't be mitamei lemeid, and there are also privileges, but it doesn't apply to everyone else. So, and then there are also dinim that apply to the kohen gadol, like a garden variety kohen can be mitamei for the seven krovim, for the seven relatives, and the kohen gadol can't even be mitamei for that. So there's different gedarim in Klal Yisrael. So Rav Dovin Raman says that the key is that everybody has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on Madrega where he is. In other words, everybody has to know where is he holding. In other words, like not in terms of Kohen Levi Yisrael, but everybody is in a different category based on their religious observances, their learning, and where they are in life. And everybody has to be mevarer for himself or herself. What is my chova? What is my obligation now in this world based on where I'm at? So he focuses on the Mesillas Yesharim. Mesillas Yesharim says, Yisod HaChesed V'Shor Shavod HaTmima Shiparev Et Yisrael Adam Ma Chovato Ba'Olamo, that a person should be clear what's his obligation Ba'Olamo in his world. Meaning, there isn't one answer for everybody. Everybody has their own Olam, and everybody has to clarify what their obligation is. So he connects this to a Gemara, which we had in Daf Yomi, in Masechet Shabbat, on Daf Lamed Gimel. If you remember, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, you know, fled and studied in a cave for 13 years. And then but after 12 years, they left the cave, and they saw people plowing and sowing, and so they said, Manichim Chayolom Oskim Chayisha. How can these people, like, they're leaving, like the eternal life and just doing, like, mundane things? So the Gemara says that wherever they turned, got burned up, incinerated. So Batko, the heavenly voice, came and said, did you come out of the cave to destroy my world? Back into the cave. So they go back in the cave for another year. And then they said, Mishpat Rishayim Beginim Shem Yisar Chodesh. They said that even Rishayim, who are being punished, don't have to spend more than 12 months in Gehenna. So then a Bat Kol said, okay, Tzu'umi Marachem, leave your cave. So they went out, and wherever Rabbi Elazar looked like he was going to harm it, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was his father, cured it, brought refuah to it. And he said, B'ni Dailo Liolom Aniva Ata, it's enough for me and you in the world to be where we are. In other words, so he explains that when they went out the first time, they were measuring the whole world by their own yardstick. In other words, like they were at the top of the game in terms of learning, and they had spent 12 years learning in the cave, so they were in one getter. So when they came out and they saw people, they're plowing, they're sowing, it's like, oh, how can they do that when they could be studying Torah? He says, so, but the second time they came around, so Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, Dailo Lamaniva Ato, it's enough for me and you, means not everybody has the same obligation as you and I. In other words, we've studied as many years, in, you know, together. Everybody's holding in a different place. So for them, it's appropriate for them to be plowing and sowing. For us, it's appropriate for us to be studying Torah. So the maskana is that a person, you know, has to always try to keep moving up, but you have to recognize, you know, where you're holding in life. Now, he quotes here in the Siyakot Lechach Tov, now he quotes from another sefer, which is Penine Rabbeinu Akilas Yaakov, from the Stipler, and there's a Gemara Masechet Beya, which is coming up in Daf Yomi in a year and a half. It says in Masechet Beya, on Daf Tet Vav, he says, Tam Rabban Amaseb Reb Lezer Shayoshev Yidoresh Kol Yom Kulo B'Hilchot Yom Tov, that once the Tana Reb Lezer was giving a shir on Hilchot Yom Tov, he says, Yitzhak, then, like, the shir was going on, then a certain group of Talmidim left. And he said, and I think this was actually on Yontiv that he was giving the shir. I didn't look up the Gemara, but I think it was actually on Yontiv. He was giving a shir on Hilchot Yontiv, on Yontiv. And then one group of Talmidim left. He says, Amar Halalu Balei Pitzim. There are the people learn to chaviot gedol, like big barrels, like I guess of wine or whatever, and they went to parties, so, you know, so long. He says, then a second group, he says, Halalu Balei Chaviot. They're like they have like a smaller type of barrel. And third group, Balei Kadim. And the fourth group went, and the fifth group went. In other words, and the fifth group was like the Balei Kosot. And then the sixth group was preparing to leave. He says, Halalu Balei Me'era. These are people who are cursed. So again, so five groups left. So the first group, like, they want to party the whole afternoon. So they're Balei, Pitzin, Chaviot Gidolo, big barrels that are going to drink wine the whole day. And the next group left, they're you know, the smaller barrels and smaller containers. But when the last group left, he says they're Balei Me'era. They're people who were subject to the curse. So we have to understand that the sixth group, they were the ones who were steiging the most with him. You know, and again, I should mention that the Tana Reb Lezer holds that, like we hold, Chesiol Hashem v'Chesiol Lachem, that on Yom Tov you split the day, half for you and half to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning half spent in learning and davening, and half spent in partying. But Reb Lezer held, O Kula Hashem, O Kula Lachem, you have to, it's all, or either or. So why did he curse the last group? The last group are the firmest group of the whole bunch, and they stayed the longest. Why is he cursing them? So he says, so the Stipler said, that if a Talmud is the if a Talmud is longer in yeshiva, the longer he studied, the more we demand from that Talmud. So therefore, the ones who left initially, they were, you know, they had their own thing. They're like bali nefesh. They're like indulgent. But the people who, the last group, like, he expected more from them because they were the most serious students. And when they left, he said, they're Balei Me'era. So anyway, the basic idea is that everybody has to recognize the level that they're at and try to go on step by step. And you don't want to, you know, try to do more than you're at, but you don't want to do less than where you're holding. In other words, it's a tefillah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu on everybody based on who you are. And Hashem is looking for his avoda from you based on where you're holding. Okay? Any questions, comments, or thoughts on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron Moshe, what do you got for me? And then Fern. Okay.
It says when we say on Yom Nara'im, Rosh Hashanah, he says like this. He says we say by Kedus Yitzchak Basara Yoyim Rachman Tishka Brachatu Hashem Zachabris. So he says by Kedus Yitzchak that the Rosh Hashanah should have Rachmanis on it because of that Kedus Yitzchak that's our forefather. But in other words, he's saying, look at the way we are able to function today. Don't look at Yitzchak. We're not Yitzchak. According to the way we are today, Rachman is.
In other words, judge us where we're holding. Okay, very nice. Okay, and then Fern, what did you want to say, Fern?
Based on the Gemara and Shabbos, there's a question that I think Bea answers a little bit. But maybe you can go further. How do you know where you, one in particular, should be?
Well, at first, first it's your own analysis. You know, like, right, like, you know, how much did you study in yeshiva? How much is your learning? Where are you holding in your mitzvot? You know, to make a judgment, but. You know, sometimes it's good to have a Rebbe. If you have a Rebbe and somebody you feel close and comfortable with, you can ask, if an issue comes up, you can ask that Rebbe, you know, this is what I'm thinking of doing or not doing, and, you know, and where do I hold? You know, Arthur, can you mute yourself, Arthur? One second, let me get Arthur muted. One second. Okay, I took care of it. Okay, so I think that, you know, I think more often people kind of undercut where they should be holding. You know, like, I don't have to do the other thing, you know. But sometimes a person could, you know, attempt more than where they're holding at. And so it's good if you have a Rav that you feel comfortable with, who can, you know, and speak to that person to help give you some guidance. That's what I would recommend. Okay.
Didn't we have a Gemara where it had balance? You should learn Torah every day, but you shouldn't spend your whole day learning Torah.
Which Gemara is that?
I think it was the Brachos.
Are you talking about the Hasidim Rishonim, or which one? All right. So again, that depends where you're holding. In other words, like, there's one midah for most people. You know, it's like the Gemara, like the Halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, like, well, Torah sheni mamalacha sofa batela, that any Torah that's not combined with work becomes batel, but there's another midah, and this the Brisker Rav goes over as well. Like, for some people, the midah is dafka to study Torah the whole day. So again, that also relates to the same idea. All right, let me.
I have one other.
Okay, yeah. What is it, Aaron Moshe?
I was going to say that the Bittel, the Talmud by the Rabbi Yisrael Slant and many other tzaddikim, they would make cheshbonis, cheshbon hanefesh from Elul on, and they would write setelach, and they would go over the setelach to see if they've come near to what they were supposed to accomplish.
All right.
It's not like in America they make New Year's Eve resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this. It's not New Year. It's a cheshbon hanefesh on what they accomplished and what they were missing.
All right. Very nice. Okay. All right. Let me go further. Okay. Now this is a piece from Rav Simon, and it's talking about the Tumat Konim, and he gets into an issue. Well, I think maybe you've heard about this, that there's a shita that holds that Kivrei Tzadikim are not metame, that if a tzaddik dies, that a kohen, at least theoretically, could go to the kever. It's an idea. We'll see in his piece that he talks about. So he springs into it again. The difficulty in the first pasuk says, "Emor lekohenim bnei Aaron v'amar talihem." Speak to the kohenim and say to them. So that's like a difficulty in the pasuk. Why does it say Amor v'amarta, right? The verb is repeated twice. So Rashi, on the spot, says, it says Amor v'amarta, it's like Lahazhir Gedolim al Ketanim, that, in other words, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, should speak to the Kohanim, and then tell the Kohanim that they, the Kohanim, should say to the Kohanim who are minors, that they should be careful with all of these proscriptions that relate to the Kohanim, that they also shouldn't become Tame. And then he quotes from the Mizrahi, which is just really elaborating more on the Rashi. And Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi has a whole Sefer Mizrahi on Rashi. There are many Mefarshim just on Rashi, but the Mizrahi is a famous commentary on Rashi. So the Mizrahi goes on to say that frequently in the Torah you'll see Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'amar talihem. That we have all over the place. Daber v'amar to. He says when it says Daber v'amar to, which are two different verbs, he says Daber means you'll tell them like the overview, v'amar to, you'll tell them all the particulars. But here he says, when it says emor v'amarta, the same verb, so that's the difficulty in understanding what it's talking about, because both, l'chora, he takes it that emor is talking about all the pratim, all the specifications, so he says that's lahazir gidolim al haktanim. All right, then he quotes from the Or HaChaim, and the Or HaChaim is Reb Chaim ibn Attar. He was from Morocco, and then eventually made aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. So the Or HaChaim is also bothered by Emor v'Amarta, and he says also, why does it say HaKohanim b'nei Aharon? Normally in Hebrew, and the way it's elsewhere in Chumash, it would be b'nei Aharon HaKohanim. In other words, that's the way it goes. At first it's in Al Pi Dikduk, it's b'nei Aharon HaKohanim. First you mention the person, and then you mention the descriptive term. This is like Ruvein HaChacham, that's the way he takes it. So anyway, so he says, so the Or HaChaim says, he quotes from Medrash Tanchuma on our Parsha, and the Medrash Tanchuma says, what's this similar to? In other words, in the beginning of the Parsha, there were all these admonishments to the Kohanim not to become Tame, not to become spiritually impure through contact or proximity with a dead person. So the Medrash Tanchuma explains, it's like a tabach, like a butcher that came back and forth before the king. So the king said, I don't want you to ever come into contact with any dead people. Because you come in front of me all the time, and I don't want you to pollute my palace. So he says, that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu made a gezeirah on the Kohanim that always come before him in the Beis HaMikdash. That's like God's palace. I don't want you to be metame lemeit. So he says, lenefesh lo yitama. So he says that the Isur of Tumat Kohanim, it comes out, it's because they're so chashuv, they're so important. They're the ones who are on a high level that serve Hashem in his palace, which is the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, so they shouldn't in any way be tied to a cadaver, which is something considered very lowly. So he says, Emor, he takes the Or HaChaim, Emor implies something very exalted. And there's a pasuk in Chumash, Et Hashem He'emarta Yom, V'Hashem He'emircha Hayom. It's a pasuk in Sefer Devarim that Hashem, that you have designated Hashem, meaning Hashem, you are in a category all by yourself. And Hashem is designating us. that we're special among all the peoples of the earth. So emor can imply something very, very important and special. So the Or HaChaim takes it that this Amira is Havdalah. So take the Kohanim, in other words, so you emor, tell the, because they're Kohanim, in other words, Kohanim is front and center, because you're Kohanim, emor v'amarta, tell them how exalted they are, and therefore you can't be mitame to a mate. You can't be defile yourself to a dead person. All right, now, then he hooks into his point that he really wants to make, and he quotes from the Zohar. The Zohar adds something else to Lashon Amira. So Zohar says, Rabbi Yisrael Amor, emor l'kohanim b'lechishu, that you should tell it to them like with a whisper, quietly. That's what the Zohar takes it, that Amira is b'lechishu. Just like all the actions of Kohanim are b'lechishu, so I would say like stiller hay, like very quiet. So he says that Lashon Amira means speak softly to them, and he quotes from the Sefer Divrei Yoel by Rav Yoel Teitelbaum. He says, in one explanation, but Rav Simon wants to say, based on the Or HaChaim, we could say that b'lechishu, like softly, because it's not appropriate to like advertise to, you know, build up a person's importance, even if they are important. He's working off the Zohar and the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim says emor v'amarta means you're exalted, you're important. That's the Shon Amira, et Hashem ha'amarta hayom, Hashem ha'amiracha hayom. But b'davka, because you're so important, it should be b'lechishu. It should be quietly. In other words, it shouldn't be, you know, some people, you know, they lick five envelopes on a Friday afternoon in the shul office, and they want a whole announcement from the pulpit about it. So even when a person is doing, like, good things, it should be, like, stiller hate. It should be quiet. It shouldn't be publicized. And that's the way, that's that piece. Okay, now we're going to hook into this now. Anybody want to say anything right now? I don't want to, like, hold anybody off. Are you all good?
To answer Fern, who asked before. So go to the Lamed Hay of Brachos, talks about learning Torah during the day.
Right. The machloket between Reb Shimbar Yochai and Reb Yishmael, right. Huh. So that machloket, right. Okay, so it's Gufa, on that sugya, is where the Brisker Rav says that even though it says, like, Harbe Asu, Reb Yishmael, Ba'alta Biyada, many people, you know, conduct themselves like Reb Yishmael says. Reb Yishmael says in the Gemara Brachot, Hanheg Bahem Minan Derech Eretz, that a person should work and study Torah. And then Reb Shimbar Yochai, who we're speaking about in the Gemara Shabbos, says that a person, you know, like, you should study Torah the whole day. So the Gemara says many people attempted to do like Reb Shimbar Yochai and it didn't work out too well for them. And many people tried to work like Reb Yishmael and it did work out. But the Brisker Rav says it means many, but some people, that's the derech to study Torah the whole day. But that's a different shiur. Okay, let me move on. Now,
Rabbi, quick question.
Yeah, what's up, Eli? What's up, Mark?
Yeah, I want to just go back to that previous point. I consider myself very modest. When I volunteer for something, I don't need to take a picture with the show. Right. I don't need to have advertised in the in the community board. There are other people who are just the opposite.
Right.
Okay. Every little thing they do, they got to put on Facebook. For example, I did this, I did that. They got to But there's got to be some fine line in between where it's okay.
All right. We'll talk. I'll try to talk about it a little bit. Rav Simon has said in the past that you can't keep everything a secret, because you want your children, you know, to know what you're doing, like, so they could be influenced in a positive way. But generally speaking, you want everything hatsnei alecha. I mean, you do it with humility and don't publicize it as a general matter. Okay. Now, now he hooks into this other part, which I about the kivrei tzaddikim. So now he wants to hook into a piece from the Yismach Moshe. And it relates to the Kivrei Tzaddikim. We'll see in a minute. So there's a Medrash Agadah that says there was an incident with Rabbi Akiva, that he was captured and incarcerated, and Rishua Garci was his shamus. So he's in jail, but they let him have his shamus come and go, presumably, and his shamus is Rabbi Yeshua HaGarci. And then once on Yom Kippur, so he asked for a shus from Rabbi Akiva. Is it okay if I leave you for Yom Kippur? I want to be with my family for Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Akiva says, fine, you can go. He says, so Rabbi Yeshua Garci is in his house, and then Eliyahu Anavi comes, and knocks on the door, and he says, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm Eliyahu." He says, "What do you want?" He says, "I come to inform you that Rabbi Akiva, your Rebbe, has died, that he's dead." So they both went, they traveled the whole night, they got to the prison, and they found the door open, they found the head of the guards and everybody else sleeping, and then at that point, Eliyahu Navi went in, opened the door, and he got involved with Rabbi Akiva's body. So he says, Rabbi Yeshua said to him, "Aren't you a Kohen?" Because Eliyahu Navi's a Kohen. "Aren't you a Kohen? How can you be involved with a dead body?" He says, "Amar lo b'ni ein tumah le tzaddikim lo lechachamim." So Eliyahu Navi said that there's no tumah for tzaddikim, and since Rabbi Akiva is a tzaddik, there's no tumah, and b'meila I can handle the body. So he says, so it comes out that from this, it sounds like the kibrei tzaddikim are not metame, that the grave of a tzaddik wouldn't be a source of tumah. So, and the Ramban writes in Parshat Chukat, he says the reason for tumah made is, you know, because of the incident with the Nachash, with the snake, and the Niftarim B'Neshika Lo Yitamum Radin. In other words, there are different ways to die. So if a person dies with a Malach HaMavet, which is unfortunately the way most people die, so then there's tumah connected with it. But if a person is a tzaddik, so he just dies B'Neshika, like a kiss from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so there's no tumah that's associated with that. So he connects this also to the Gemara in Masechet Ketubot, Daf Kuf Gimel. Chazal say the day that Rebbe died, Batla Kedusha. When Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, the editor of the Mishnayot, when he died, Batla Kedusha. Kedusha, like, sort of disappeared. So Tosfos explains two ways to explain the Gemara. Tosfos says, either Kavana is that they called him Rabbeinu HaKadosh. That was his appellation. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, like our holy rabbi. So he says that was Batel. But after he died, nobody was called HaKadosh. That's answer one. But answer two is that the Kavana is that the day he died, Batla Kedusha Kuna Lameshach Oto Hayom. That, in other words, the Kedusha of Kohanim was not something you had to be concerned about the day that Rebbe died. In other words, because, he says, because Rebbe was a tzaddik, and the Kohanim were free to become Tamei, you know, with his, with involved with his death. And then Tosu says, Vavra Reb Chaim Kohen Haya Omer. So Reb Chaim Kohen, is one of the Rishonim, would say, that had he been around when Rabbeinu Tam passed away, Rabbeinu Tam is another one of the Balei Tosfot, that's one of Rashi's grandsons, he says, Ayiti Matame Lo, I, even though I'm a Kohen, I would have had no compunctions about going to his funeral and being near his grave. He says, Oto Ayom, and there was Dafka that day, and the idea is, like, he's a tzaddik who's dying. Now, let me just do a few more lines, and then we'll come in. He's going to connect this to the idea of, you know, being low-key with everything. So he says, and the Sefer Kata Kemach by Rabbeinu Bachya, it's brought down that was the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu. His Madrega, his death was B'Neshika, like a kiss. Chazal say, V'yamach Moshe B'Neshem Eretz Moav Al-Pi Hashem. Al-Pi Hashem means, like, through the mouth of God. In other words, Al-Pi Hashem, you know, is usually, like, based on what God says, but the drasha is Al-Pi Hashem, he died from the mouth of God, that God gave him a neshika, a kiss, and neshika is, like connection between the one who loves and the one who is loved, and through that, the soul departs this world without tasting tamit, without tasting death, and without the koach hamashkit. The koach hamashkit is the malach hamavet. So that's the... And that's the death of Rabbeinu. That was also the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the death of Rabbeinu Kadosh. And the Kata Kemach also says that Mishabet Rebbe Batla Kedusha, the Kohanim were involved with his Kavura, because he died also B'Neshika. And he says, for that reason, everybody else dies with the Malach HaMavet, and that's why the Gaonim established that a person should wash his hands when he goes on the Olam Eid for us, but a person's B'Neshika, so he's in good shape with that. All right, now, okay, what's up?
I was going to say, Yankiv once said in Beis Medrash, this is by Avraham Avinu, he has a book there, but he says, when Avraham came back and he saw that Sarah Romano was the terrorist, so he says, Vayakami out ne Mesa. So it says, Ahmad Nalash, what do you mean, Vayakami out ne Mesa? He got up to the face of his dead woman. What does that mean? He says, he looked at her face and he saw that she was the same as she was when she was alive, beautiful, the same way. So he knew it wasn't, that she didn't die from the Tzamech men telling her that, that the Yitzchak was by the Akedah. In other words, he had no remorse. That's why he will have cursed him with a small K, with a small hook. Because the Yochma Alpine Mesa, he looked at her face. He wanted to see how her face looked.
All right. But how does that relate to what we were saying, though?
Well, it says it means Mesa and she. All right.
Let's see further. Okay. Welcome, Rabbi Jonathan Drury. Welcome. Okay. Nice to have you with us. So I'm in the middle of a piece from Rav Simon. And he's talking about the Kohanim, and the Kohanim have to be, act b'hatznei alecha. In other words, he said, just to review, he says, like, emor v'yamarta, the Or HaChaim says that it's the lashon of, like, a gedula. In other words, tell them that emor, since they're so exalted, and they're Kohanim, so they can't be metame. And then he mentioned from the Zohar that emor means to speak softly to them. In other words, not to publicize how special they are, because he has to always do batznei alechet. Then he segued into kivrei tzaddikim, that there is a mesorah that's brought down in Sfarim that we went through, that a tzaddik is not metame in his death. So that when Rebbe died, batla kedusha, it means that the kohenim could be metame. And Tosfos says, Tosfos quotes from one of the Bali Tosfos, Reb Chaim Cohen said, had he been present when Rabbeinu Tam passed away, he would have no compunctions about being metame to him, because Rabbeinu Tam was a tzaddik. Okay, so now, if you look in Tosfos in Bava Metzia, he says that Tosfos in Bava Metzia says, no, it's not true, that kibrei tzaddikim are metame. And when Eliyahu Nabi said the kibbutz yedakim not metame, that was just like to give him a pshetel. In other words, remember. So Rabbi Yeshua, Garsi, and Eliyahu are there looking at the body of Rabbi Akiva, and he says, "Aren't you a kohen?" So he says, "Well, kibrei tzaddikim not metame." So Tosfos and Bava Metzia takes it that was just an explanation just to deal with the question, not the real answer. He says the real reason was it was a mate mitzvah that everybody, again, it was a time of Roman persecution, and that's why Rabbi Akiva was arrested, and everybody was afraid to be involved with the body. So it's a mate shein lo kovrim, and that's why he did it. But really, not allowed to be metame. So then he quotes from Yismach Moshe. This is Rav Simon. That's Rav Moshe Teitelbaum. He says, How can Tosfos say that he didn't say something correct? He's saying a halacha, the kibrei tzaddikim are not metame, and Eliyahu Hanavi is going and saying these things. So, to make a long story short, he says that that me'etzem din, it's true, kibrei tzaddikim are not metame, but halacha l'maisa, we are not allowed to act on that. In other words, the emes is in shemayim, kibrei tzaddikim are not metame. There is no tumah from kibrei tzaddikim. But we humans are not allowed to act on that basis because we can't figure out who's really a tzaddik, who's not a tzaddik. In other words, and even if there is one person where machzik is a tzaddik, but we can't do one rule for one tzaddik, another rule for another people. So as a halach lemaisa, we have to not act on that halacha. So Eliyahu Hanavi presumably was saying, kibrei tzaddikim not metame, but the Tosfos is saying, but the real reason he felt comfortable handling it was because of mate mitzvah. All right, so then he quotes that there's Gemara Masech Chulin, and the Chulin says that Chazal teaches that there are 45 tzaddikim. I know we're used to saying there are 36 tzaddikim, but the Gemara Chulin says there are 45 tzaddikim that the world depends on. But Amar Abai Rubai Mishtakach Bekinish the Tuti Apta. Abai says most of them you can find in the shul, the Tuti Apta is like underneath, I don't know, the balcony, the chamber. There was like this, like sort of like, you know, a hole in the wall shul. I don't say hole in the wall, but like the shul that's off the beaten path, then you can find them over there. So the Ben Yehoyada, I hope you're taking this in, Rabbi Drury. So the Ben Yehoyada says that don't think that they all have to be Yidum Mefur Samim. Don't think that they're a tzaddikim, everybody has to know who the tzaddikim are. Punk Faker, just the opposite. Most of them are people you don't know. And if you want to look after them, you'll find them in sort of like the people who are in the not chashav shul. That's where you'll find the tzaddikim. That they're not so chashav, they're not so held in such high esteem by people, and that's where you'll find all these tzaddikim. So the idea that he's developing is, again, that like you want to be shtiller hayed with everything. Quiet. You don't want to like do everything but pumbi, and that's the way the tzaddikim do it. Now, he clinches this with the Agra Dekala. Agra Dekala is from the Bnei Yisaskar, that's from Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, and he was also a Hasidic Rebbe from the 19th century. So the Agra Dekala, and this is very apropos, he has a piece on Pesach Sheni. Today, as you may recall, or know, today's Pesach Sheni, meaning in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when the first Korban Pesach was offered, and if a person was Tamei, he couldn't bring the Korban in the first Pesach, he would bring the Korban now, he would bring it this afternoon. Today is the 14th day of Iyar, so he would bring it this afternoon. There's a piece like Rav Schechter, like among Ashkenazim, like the original minhag is really not to do anything on Pesach Sheni and to say Tachan on a Pesach Sheni. And Rav Schechter, there's a sefer that came out, the Haggadah from Rav Schechter. He says, I think among other things, he says Pesach Sheni is only when there was a Pesach Rishon. In other words, so if there was a Beis HaMikdash and there was a Pesach Rishon, then there's a Pesach Sheni. If there was no Beis HaMikdash for Pesach Rishon, there is no Pesach Sheni. So it means if the Mashiach would come yesterday, there's no Pesach Sheni. In other words, Pesach Sheni is only when everybody got to bring the Korban Pesach on Pesach Rishon. So that's one ha'ara he makes. And I think he also says, there's also, I think, a minhag, especially with Hasidim, to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni. So he's quoting a lot of Torah from the Rav. He says that he doesn't think that makes sense. It says, the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach Sheni is not like the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach Rishon. Mitzvah matzah is an independent mitzvah. On Pesach Sheni, it's just to eat to eat it with the matzah, not to eat the matzah separately. I think I got to go over it. Okay, now, so the Agra Dekala says, if you remember Parsha Balocha, so it says that so certain people were tame, they were ritually impure, and they couldn't bring Pesach Rishon. So they came and said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we're tame, lama nigarav, how come we're left out of the whole picture that we can't bring the Korban Hashem, we can't bring the Korban Pesach? So the Or HaChaim asks, what's the title? Mama Nigara. How come we're out of the picture? He says, you know why? Because you're Tameim Lenefesh Adam. You're Tamei, that's why. And then he says, why is it Nefesh Adam? Why not Nefesh? Why Nefesh Adam? Why is it that between Nefesh Adam? So the Agra Dekala says that when it says Adam, that implies that the person was a tzaddik. Anachnu Tameim Lenefesh Adam, meaning that the people we became Tamei for were tzaddikim. So now he's going to, you're going to see where we're going with this. He says that the Tosfos brings down the tzaddikim and not the Tamei. So Chazal teach us, and this is support from the Rishalmi about when Rebbe died, so they said, there's the Ein Kuhn Hayom, and the Midrash Shocher Tov says that Eliyahu HaNavi was involved with the Kvur of Rebbe Akiva. And he says, and listen to this, he says, the Agra Dekala says, V'chinu gibar kadisha ad hayom. The Agra Dekala says that's the way they're knowing in Eretz Yisrael till today. So it sounds like in the time of the 19th century that he must have known that Kohanim would go to funerals of tzaddikim. Anyway, so he says the Kohanim go to Kivri Kedoshim, that they go to the kever, right? Not just to the funeral, they go to the kever of Kedoshim. So there's a kaddish, they would go to the kever. So he says that the people who were the people who were Tamei. So there's two opinions in the Gemara Masechet Sukkah Daf Kafei. So Nosei Aronos Shel Yosef, the people who had carried the Aron of Yosef, or they were Mishael v'El Tzafan who had taken out Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu were Kedoshei, Kedoshim. So Mela, their taina was, yeah, we handled a funeral where we were in close contact with a cadaver or the bones of a cadaver, either with Yosef or with Nadav and Avihu, but they were tzaddikim. And so why should we not be able to offer the Korban Pesach? Now, this conversation is taking place, presumably, at the time of Pesach Rishon. So he says, so why are we blocked off with this? So, Lama Nigara. So he says, it could be that's why there's no tshuva. The tshuva that comes back from a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a tshuva to Klal Yisrael, not a tshuva to these people. And he goes on, he explains that, let's say when Benot Slavcha, they had a taina. So the answer that comes back from a Kadosh Baruch Hu is, Kein Benot Slavcha Dovrot. don't stop chad, have a taina, and here and natotim nachala b'tochachei aviyam, give them a nachala. But here with these people, it doesn't say answer these people. It says tell Bnei Yisrael, tell Klal Yisrael that if somebody is tameh on Pesach Rishon, then they'll bring the korban on Pesach Sheni, meaning that in Achinami, these people who complain were entitled to bring the korban Pesach Rishon because the person they were metameh with were tzaddikim, either Yosef or Nadav and Abihu. That's what the Agra Dekala wants to say. So anyway, so it comes out from the whole thing that the basic idea he's trying to develop up is that 1 second. He says, but he says, in other words, so for tzaddikim, we don't know who's a tzaddik, because a tzaddik will hide up his actions. We don't know who the real tzaddikim are, because tzaddikim are going to hide up all their actions. You don't know what people are doing. And, you know, like frequently when a person passes away, then you find out they did A, B, C, D, and E. So his main point is that everybody has to fulfill the pasuk, Vatznei Alecha Elim Elokecha, walk humbly with your God, but it means, and he quotes the Gemara, who's he quoting now? He says, yeah, the Ora Chachma says, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says in Gemara Sukkah, Re'iti b'nei Aliyah v'heimu atin. I saw b'nei Aliyah, like the people who were very elevated, the very few, that's the simple pshat in the Gemara, but he wants to say that they're muatin, that they're mamayit themselves. They, like, try to diminish themselves and not advertise everything. Okay, let me just summarize what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, or thoughts, and then I'll just do it till 12 o'clock. I don't want to, like, overdose everybody. So, with this piece, we spoke about why it says amor v'amarta. So why it says two verbs, amor v'amarta, which is really the same verb repeated twice. Why does it do it? So the first piece was Rashi, and the Mizrahi elaborates on it, Lazir Gidolim Al-Ketanim. In other words, you'll say to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim will say to their children, will admonish the children not to become Tamei Tumeit. In other words, Lazir Gidolim, the adults, will admonish the minors. That's the first pshat. But that's not really the pshat he was really focusing on. Then the Or HaChaim says that Emor V'Amarta implies someone who's exalted. And it says, it doesn't say B'nei Aaron HaKohanim, HaKohanim B'nei Aaron. And tell them, in other words, that because they're in such an exalted status, so they can't be metameh to a maid. And then he segued into the Zohar. The Zohar says, Emor implies B'lechishu. You speak softly and whisper to them, and you'll tell them that. And so then Rav Simon wanted to say that, why is it B'lechishu? In other words, I shouldn't publicize to everybody how special they are. In other words, I shouldn't spread it all over the times. In other words, something like that should be B'lechishu, which should be in a whisper. So then, with that, he went on to the issue with the Kivrei Tzadikim, and Kivrei Tzadikim are not metameh, and then he had whole arichas, and we spoke about Rabbi Akiva, the Eliyahu Navi was metameh, because it was a kever of a tzaddik, and then Rabbi Chaim HaKohen, who was one of the Bali Tosfot, said had he been around by the Kura of Rabbi Notam, he would have been metameh. And so if that's the case, then he quoted from the Yismath Moshe, so Tosfot says that the reason Eliyahu was able to be involved with Rabbi Akiva was not because he was a tzaddik, it was because of his mate mitzvah. So the Yismach Moshe, Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, was asked, what do you mean? How would Tosfos say, how would Eliyahu Navi in the Medrash say something which is totally like false or whatever? So he says the emes is that he said emes, that Kibrei Tzadikim are not metameh. But halacha lemaisa, we cannot act on that halacha because we cannot identify with certainty who is a tzaddik and who is not a tzaddik. And the reason we can't, in part, is because tzaddikim are, you know, well, first it's, you know, Hashem roel levav, Hashem sees in our hearts where we're at, but the idea is, he wants to say that people, tzaddikim, act like shtiller, you know, with quiet, you know, shtiller hate, and they don't publicize the whole thing, and we can't know who's really a tzaddik and who's not. So Eliyahu Navi was involved with Rabbi Akiva, and so Rabbi Akiva may have been a tzaddik, but the real reason he was able to do it is because he was a, because it was mitzvah. So, And then we mentioned the Gemara in Chulin, there are 45 tzaddikim, and they're like off in a shul by the side. And then we mentioned from the Agra de Kala about the people who anachnu tmei in the Nefesh Adam. Why is it the Nefesh Adam? And what's their whole taina? Like, so you're tamei. What do you mean that taina? The halacha is you're tamei. So the taina was that they had been tamei either for Yosef or for Nadab and Avihu, so therefore they should be tamei. So the answer that comes back, and so he says lenefesh adam, like for an exalted person, and the answer that comes back is not to them. The answer that comes back to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, I'm telling you, in general, you know, if you're tamei, you're going to have to bring it in Pesach Sheni. But for these people in Achinami, they could bring in Pesach Rishon. But the idea is that he wants to say that a person should hide his actions, and then he says Ra'iti ben Eliyahu lein muatin. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, I see the people who are in the top category, and they're very few. That's a simple shot, Vehimuatin, that they're minmayit themselves, they diminish themselves. All right, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did? Everybody good? Quiet bunch. Okay, so I'm going to do another 10 minutes or so, and then that'll be it, I think, for today, all right? So
I have a small question. Earlier, in response to Fern's question, you suggested that one goes to one's Rebbe to get a hop on how to go forward. You use the word Rebbe and Rav interchangeably. Right. Is that deliberate?
Well, Rebbe has two connotations. You know, the Rebbe implies Hasidus, like a Hasidic Rebbe.
Right.
But in yeshiva, if you have the Rav that you study with, he's your Rebbe. In other words, like Rebbe Yehuda, you know, like Rebbe Lel, you know, like so I meant it in that sense. I mean, so you'll go to your Rav. You'll go to your Rav. In other words, the Rav you have is not necessarily, it could be, but it's not necessarily the rabbi in your shul. In other words, the person that you are learning with, that you take guidance from, that you feel comfortable with, you go to that person and ask them, and you know, for guidance if you feel, you know, if you have a question. That's what I would recommend. All right, let me just do a little bit more, and I think I'm going to call it a day with this. So there's a bigger piece that he has here, but I'm just going to do a little piece at the end. And that's about, and I think it's one of the interesting parshiot in the Torah about the Megadeth. So if you remember in the parsha, it says Vayitze ben Ishay Yisraelit v'hu ben Ish Mitzri b'toch ben Yisrael, that there was this fellow whose mother was Jewish and his father was Egyptian, and Vayitze, he went out and he has a fight with somebody. You know, the two have a fight. So, yeah, I'm just going to quote a little bit at the... 1 minute.
Parakaf Dalet, what's so good for people
looking. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So this is a piece from the Pritzadik. The Pritzadik is by Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. So the Pritzadik says, Chazal teach us by Yitze ben Isha Yisraelit. So he says, and then he by Yikalel, he curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they bring to Moshe, he says, V'shemi Moshe Lomit Ba'Debri L'matei Dan. And they put him in prison. So Rashi says, Vayitze ben Isha Yisraelit Mehechan Yatza. So it says Vayetze means you went from point A to point B. That's usually like Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayetze Haran. He went from Be'er Sheva, he went to Haran. Vayetze is I left point A. It doesn't mean this is where you go. Vayetze is where you left. So, but here it doesn't say where he left. So he says, Reblevi Omer Me Olamo Yatza. Reblevi said he left his world. He gave up his Olam Abba, really. He says, Rebrechi Omer Me Parsha Shalmala Yatza. Rebrechi says he was coming off the earlier parsha. He says, "Liglig va'amar b'yom haShabbat yarachenu." He says the Torah says by the Lechem Apanim that it should be set forth every Shabbat in the Beit HaMikdash. They set forth 12 loaves, and the 12 loaves are really matzahs. They're matzahs, but I think they're like the lafa, like the bendable matzahs, and Chazal have different shapes that they form. So they were on the shulchan. You know, really, they were baked on Friday and then on the Shulchan for 8 days, from Friday till the following Shabbos. On the Shulchan for 7 days, but 8 days since baking. So he said, Derech HaMelech L'chol Pach Chama B'chol Yom. Like, a king has warm bread every day. He says, Shema Pat Sonene Shel Tisha Yamim. Would he eat, like, a 9 day old, 9 days, he's figuring, Friday the first day, then, you know, Friday is day eight, the next Friday is day eight, and then Shabbos is day nine. So he's bitming out. So in other words, he was malaglay, he made fun of the lechem apanim. That's the idea with this person. So the priest Tzadik explains, the Megadif didn't believe in the Kedusha of Knesset Yisrael. He didn't believe there's something so special about the Jewish people, because his father was a Mitzri. He says Shabal Imo de Kashari Bazuma, that the Egyptian had put like pollution in the mother, in other words, like it came from not Jewish sources. So he says, so he was kofar Kedusha Yisrael. So he says, so he wants to say that the twelve loaves represent the 12 Shvatim. The 12 loaves represent the 12 Shvatim. And maybe I should have spoken about this earlier. Let me just jump around a little bit. When the Olei Regalim would come to Yerushalayim, they would lift up the Shulchan and say, Ruchi Batchem Lefnei Makom. See how precious you are before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Siluko Kesiduro. But the way the bread is when it's removed is just the way it was when it was placed there. Meaning, just like it was hot and warm when it was placed there, so too it's hot and warm now. So I don't know exactly what they would see, maybe the air, or, you know, like lines in the air, whatever, but they were able to see that it was fresh bread. So we have to understand, so why Bedavka did they show that nace to Klal Yisrael when they made Aliyah L'Regel? So the pre-Tzadik, Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, explains that the warmth of the 12 loaves is expressing the warmth and love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the 12 Shvatim. And he quotes on the Medrash Tadshe that the 12 loaves correspond to the 12 Shvatim, the 12 tribes. And then it says, he explains elsewhere, the 12 Shvatim, they symbolize 12 different derachim in Avodas Hashem. In other words, each shevet had a different derech in Avodas Hashem. He says, every shevet, and he says it comes out that the warmth of the bread is expressing the Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu for each shevet, and Hashem appreciates each shevet and the way that they're serving Hashem. That as long as all the derachim are favorable to Hashem, it means provided it's Alpi Torah. So then he's coming now with this Ben Ish Mitzri. So the Ben Ish Mitzri, like he said, what's so special about the Jewish people? In other words, the Lechem Apanim expresses the idea that there's something very special about the Jewish people, and there's something special about each Shevet. But he was Ben Ish Mitzri, so he didn't have any Yichus, he didn't belong to any Shevet. In other words, he's Jewish, it comes out of Lach L'maisa because his mother was Jewish, but the Yichus in each Shevet is set forth by the father. So he was outside the Machaneh. He had no place to encamp within the Machaneh. He would be like with Gerim, with converts, outside the Machaneh. So he was Malagleg. He scoffed at the mitzvah of Lechem Apanim, because Lechem Apanim is saying there's something special about the Jewish people. So, and I'm wrapping it up with this paragraph now. So based on this, we can understand, it's very appropriate, he says, that we read this during Sfira near Lag BaOmer. Now, the Gemara says the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died during this period of time until Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is coming up, is it Tuesday? Which day is Lag BaOmer? Who knows? Is it Tuesday? Tuesday, I see.
Monday, not Tuesday.
Okay, so Tuesday. So Tuesday's Lag BaOmer, because they weren't knowing with Kavod Zelazez, what the Gemara says. They didn't respect one another, and therefore it's appropriate that we read this parsha Lechem Apanim and the parsha Makaleo, that we should learn how much to be Marich Kedushas Yisrael of each person, that every Jew has his Kedusha, and to appreciate everybody, and even though somebody has a different derech, to appreciate that derech as well. So I think that's going to be it for today. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did?
Yes. Who has the mitzvah of being Machaneh, the child? Is it the mitzvah fathering the Israeli mother?
So again,
we're into this.
Yeah. Well, I think the Mishnah says in Masechta Kiddushin, and you studied it, it's really the chiyuv limad tamotam b'neichem. It's the father has the obligation to take care of the chinuch for the son. I mean, it's appropriate for a mother, you know, if there is no father, that, you know, to also take care of the chinuch, I mean, to fill in, you know, but the obligation in a Torah is on the father, and then if it's not the father, I think the Bezdin, it devolves upon the Bezdin to take care of it. I mean, if you're asking me...
So not the mother, the Israeli. So
that's correct.
Hands for mother. other things.
Yeah, I mean, technically, I don't think I'll be... Rabbi
it doesn't Drury. Default to
Rabbi Drury, you want to weigh in on this at all, Rabbi Drury?
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I know that there is a musig of, you know, al tito Torah simecha. There is the chinuch that the mother does as well.
That's what I'm saying.
So...
Yeah, but I the way I remember the Gemara in Kiddushin is it comes out that it's basically the father. I mean, it's similar to, let's say, the bris, right? Let's say there's no father, so whose obligation is to take care that he has a bris? So I think that's really the bezdin. I mean, in Achinami, like Lamai said, the mother would do these things today, but really, technically speaking, it's the father, and then the bezdin, I think, has the obligation. All right. Anyway, I think that's it for today.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom. Okay,
thank you all for coming.